flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
New Browns offensive coordinator Tommy Rees will have his little introductory "I'm now the offensive coordinator" press conference. And it starts in about, well, according to the clock, it starts in about 30 seconds. We'll see. I'm Jeff Phelps. We'll hear it right here on The Fan. My buddy's Andy Baskin.
Hey.
We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski and offensive coordinator Tommy Rees.
We met a few years back. I've kept the relationship. Watched him from afar as he had his success as a young coach. And then we were able to bring him in here last year. And really this last year spent with Tommy really solidified what I thought about him. We had a process with some really impressive candidates for this job, some smart people that we really enjoyed getting to know, but ultimately felt that Tommy was the right fit for this football team. As far as play calling, which I know you guys are going to ask, I'm going to call plays, and I reserve the right to change my mind. Okay? So excited to announce Tommy. He's ready for this. Been already a bunch of meetings with Tommy, with the offensive coaches. It feels like Tommy's got a really strong handle on this job, and I'm excited for him. So without further ado, Tommy Rees. No.
Yeah, first and foremost, just want to thank Coach Stefanski, the Haslam family, and the entire Browns organization, Andrew Berry, for this opportunity. It's one I'm going to take great pride in and look forward to. You know, really excited about being able to stay in Cleveland, stay with the Browns. And, you know, lastly, thank all of you for being here, braving the cold. And with that, I will open it up to any questions.
I'm sure you had some other opportunities. How did it work out that you ended up staying here, and how excited are you just to be here again?
Yeah, Cleveland is where I wanted to be. I took this job a year ago wanting to be with Coach Stefanski, wanting to be a part of this organization. Obviously, the fan base, you know, what this organization represents, you know, the division we're in, all those things added up. So if this was going to be an opportunity for me, this was the one that I wanted to be a part of.
When you start putting the offense together for 2025, how difficult is that, not knowing who the quarterback is?
Yeah, I think you want to build an offense that has flexibility to be able to, you know, cater to any quarterback's strengths. And that's what we're after here, and that's what we're trying to build. And, you know, we have to be, you know, malleable in our ability to shape the offense, you know, to really highlight the strengths of that player. And, you know, I know we're going to put a system together that's able to do that.
I mean, what role will you play in the draft and evaluating quarterbacks? Will you go to the Shrine Bowl? Will you go to the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, a lot of those conversations are still to be had. Obviously, the evaluation process is ongoing for the quarterbacks. I'll be, you know, involved in that. You know, whether we're Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl, those decisions are yet to be made.
Of putting a system together here, how do you envision it looking? Is it going to be similar to what was, you know, the first 4 years with Kevin and AVP, or do you anticipate working with Kevin to really kind of overhauled and put your own stamp on things?
Yeah, I think we're going to work together. We want to have a system that is sound. We want to have a system that is explosive. But at the end of the day, we want a system that caters and really highlights our players' strengths. And so it's always going to be player-centric. It's always going to be in the front of the mind to make sure we're doing things that are sound football-wise. And then, you know, how do we create opportunities for our players and our offense to be explosive?
So tell me, when you say that, Kevin calling the plays?
It's great. You know, obviously we're going to work together. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, being a part of the process and, you know, having an opportunity to lead the offensive staff and lead the offense. And, you know, look, there's so much work that gets done on the front end of things. Play calling is just part of the process. And we're excited to get to work together and making sure that we have a good product on the field.
Tommy, when you talk about catering the offense to the player's strengths, especially your quarterback, you know, there's going to be a million options in free agency and the draft. So don't you need to have a system that you have before you get those guys? You know what I mean? Like, a foundation of a system, and then a quarterback fits there as opposed to waiting to fit the system to a guy?
Yeah, I think the best staffs, the best offenses find a way to cater to the people they have, right? You need to have a system that is diverse enough to be able to be flexible based on your personnel. You don't want to pigeonhole what you can and can't do based on your system. You want to be flexible to, let's go find the best quarterback we can and let's make sure that he's comfortable in the system.
Tommy, what is, when you speak of that quarterback, whoever it is, what's maybe the one biggest trait you need to see that tells you that's the quarterback for me? What is there a specific trait that's like number one?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the quarterback's job is to solve problems. You're going to be tasked 60, 70, 80 times a game to make a decision in a critical moment. And so I've always started with the ability to make quick decisions and make the right decisions. So if you said one thing over the other, I want a decision maker at that position.
I know you have a lot of experience in different areas, but for last season specifically, what did that teach you to make you feel ready for this opportunity here this year as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah. You know, I think there are differences between the college and NFL game. So being in the NFL for a year was, you know, a great learning experience for me, you know, having been in it a while back, but now in a different role. You know, you learn how to reach players. You learn, you know, how things are dealt with day to day. So I would say, like, just being back in the flow of the NFL helps. But in terms of, look, the coordinator job is about leadership. It's about managing players and staff. It's about finding ways to have solutions for your players and staff. Like, that doesn't change based on the level you're at. I just think having your, you know, dipping your feet in back in the NFL pool is important to get back into that process.
Tommy, how do you see shaping and delegating the staff, and will you mostly coach the quarterbacks on the day-to-day basis?
Yeah, those are all still decisions that we're going to, you know, work through here over the next couple weeks to make sure that we have a staff that gives our players a great opportunity to have success.
Hey, do you feel you need a quarterbacks coach?
Say that again.
Do you feel you need to bring in a quarterbacks coach?
You know, that again, that's something as a staff we have to evaluate on exactly how we want to play that out. You know, certainly I'll be involved with the quarterbacks, but again, we're going to weigh all those options and make sure it's the right fit for us.
As you're part of the staff, now being promoted, obviously for some reasons the team didn't do so well in offense, do you feel you can be objective and bring a new look on what went wrong and what can be done to fix things?
I do, yes.
Tommy, speaking of making decisions quickly, part of Jaden Daniels' success is now being attributed to virtual reality.
Yep.
And training his mind to work faster. How do you feel about that? Are you considering using that? Do the Browns have that ability to do that?
Yeah, we do have VR as part of our it's part of the things that are available to our players. You know, every individual is different on how well they take to those things. Obviously, you know, Jaden's talked about it from his time at LSU even. So I'm very familiar with that. I've used it with quarterbacks in the past. We do have the ability to use that. Again, some of that is on individual basis on how they learn. But, you know, part of our job as coaches is to be able to reach a lot of different players that learn a lot of different ways. So if VR is a tool that helps us maximize our players' ability, then that's one that we'll have at our disposal.
Tommy, what about Jalen Milroe and just how much you know about him as you guys head into the evaluation process of all these quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, as a person, I have a lot of love for Jalen, a lot of respect for Jalen. Obviously, we went through a an entire season together. When you're the play caller and the quarterback, there's a great relationship there. But I'm really not going to expand much on anybody in the draft right now. And just know that I have a lot of love for Jalen as the man he is, and wish him all the best.
You expect to be there at the – I know you were asked this already, but do you plan on being at the Senior Bowl?
Again, that's up to, you know, the staff to decide how we want to delegate some of that. You know, obviously the draft process is ongoing and it's a long process, so we'll have plenty of opportunities to be around these players.
Tommy, you look at the last 2 years for this offense, turnovers have been a huge issue. Like, what's your plan or your first steps to trying to solve that as an issue?
Yeah. You know, I think when your players are, when the message is very clear, when the expectation on certain plays is very clear, when the teaching progression allows them to have confidence and play on time, on schedule, I think that helps limit those things. Obviously, you know, interceptions pile up. We have to make sure that there is no gray area for those quarterbacks. And then, you know, we got to preach good ball security for the carriers.
Tommy, a couple of the tight ends you coached last year said you see everything like a quarterback and teach everything like a quarterback. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I mean, I guess that's been my lens for football for a long time. You know, I would think that's a positive, right? But yeah, I definitely think that's part of it. You know, I think when you're in the quarterback room or in that area of expertise, like, I do think it's important to be able to step back and look at it through the lens of the other 10 guys on the field. And I would say last year being in that role gave me a great deal of appreciation on how to do that, because, you know, it's a different sport when you're not playing quarterback, right? And there's so many little things that add up that you need to be able to have that perspective on. And I would say I'm extremely grateful for that from last season.
Tommy, because you have that unique lens, does that make you more critical of quarterbacks or maybe more empathetic to what they're dealing with out there?
Well, if you asked former quarterbacks, they would probably say critical. If you asked me, I'd probably say empathetic. But look, the quarterback position is one that there comes a high demand there. You know, they want to hold themselves. We got to hold them to a high standard, but you also need to build confidence and love them up. So it's a great balancing act, and the great ones understand that and know how that needs to be done.
You've talked about flexibility and some dynamic quarterbacks. Names have already been brought up today. Even in the short time you've been in the league, Tommy, does it seem like the way a quarterback has to play is changing and evolving and becoming even more dynamic, flexible, et cetera? We see guys like Omar, Josh,
yeah,
et cetera.
I mean, you have the extremes, and then almost all quarterbacks now are able to create and extend would probably be the right word. That certainly has changed over time. It doesn't mean the guys that can are extinct. I just think you start to see that with how talented and athletic defensive players are, the ability to extend and create has definitely taken an uptick over the last however many years. I don't think it's the only criteria, but you certainly see it as a trend.
Tommy, you talked about obviously last year coming back to the NFL and the experience you had, but you've never actually been an offensive coordinator at the NFL level. I'm just curious, like, how your stints at Notre Dame, obviously on Nick Saban's staff at Alabama, how those kind of help prepare you for this role at this level?
Yeah, the job's the job, right? I mean, again, you're still managing people first and foremost, players and coaches. You're still in a leadership position. You still need to have total ownership. So all of those traits that you develop over that time are critical. You still have to build relationships with all aspects of your offense, because you're not just in one room. And so all of those traits that you learn at Notre Dame, you learn at Alabama, those still hold true at this level. I've been around great players, great coaches at both those stops, you know, so I feel extremely prepared for this opportunity. And a lot of that credit goes to, you know, Notre Dame, Alabama, the people that were there, the players that were there.
And tell me, after reflecting on last season, do you feel there needs to be a greater emphasis on the run game?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we want to be sound in everything we do. I think we want to put together a system that our players can have confidence in. Whether that's run or pass or anywhere in between, we want to make sure that everything we're doing has a why to it and our players understand that why. So to sit here and be critical, you know, I just think we want to make sure that we're finding ways to give our players the best chance on the field every Sunday to win the game. And a lot of that comes back to the why of what we're doing.
And did you know Mike Bloomgren before you got here? And what do you think he adds to the staff?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been with Bloom now for a couple of weeks. I think he's a great addition. I think he's a great offensive line coach and a great person. I only knew Bloom through reputation. We have some mutual you know, coworkers that we both worked with that, you know, I have only heard positive things, you know, dating back 10 years of knowing Bloom or through reputation.
When you took this job last year, did you think it could lead to what you're doing now?
My only focus last year was getting ready to coach the tight ends. You know, I felt like that was going to be my priority and my main focus. So, you know, I was trying to be where my feet were as much as I could and get ready to own that role.
Did you use VR at Notre Dame or just at Alabama?
We used it at both, yeah.
Pre-snap penalties were such an issue offensively last year. Just what do you think the genesis of that was, and what can you do now as an OC to help clean that up, especially the, you know, not lining up correctly and the illegal motions?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of clarity needs to be in the teaching progression on how we make sure that those things are taught, how we practice them. You know, there are small changes here and there that we can do in our structure and how we want to make sure we maximize those things. And, you know, we have to hold ourselves and our players accountable to those. And, you know, at times you also have to look in the mirror and say, okay, well, what's feasible and what's not? And if we do that, you know, those will get eradicated.
Tommy, what for you to
presser yesterday when he was talking about quarterback losses over turnover? I'm just following that, if you agree with that, and what you look at in terms of success, what leads to success.
Yeah, I did not see his press conference. I would say, you know, I agree with, like, the quarterback has as much influence in a game as any position in sport. You know, I think when you're in a high level of passing efficiency, when you're in a high level of efficiency offensively, that leads to wins and losses. I think the turnover margin is still a good number, but I think you see the pass efficiency number in the NFL continue to be a good indicator for that. And obviously that's a big part of playing the quarterback position.
What ultimately drew you to wanting to work with Devin?
Yeah. You know, I met him a few years back, you know, through a mutual coach. And I just think his overall view of the game, you know, his, you know, those are all things that as a coach, you want to be around people that you feel like you can learn and grow from, and then hopefully, you know, take part of their style and continue to help build your own, you know, coaching philosophy and style. And you want to be around good people. You're, you know, in the coaching world, it's no secret. You spend a lot of hours in this office. And so to be around a guy like Kevin, who is a great man, great coach, good person, like all of those things make it a very attractive job.
Tommy, do you feel as though, since you are not that far removed from being in the college game and being well-versed in all these college quarterbacks, do you feel like there is one in this class that can start for Cleveland Browns in 2025?
Again, I'm not going to talk about any of the players that are in the draft, and, you know, look forward to the evaluation process with that.
Just in general, though, do you feel like this – I mean, last year, six quarterbacks came out, and a lot of them have done really, really well. Do you feel like this class has some talent, enough talent, that some of these guys can step in and start this year and succeed?
Yeah, I look forward to evaluating them. I really do.
Everyone assumes the offense will go back to the 2023 offense that won 11 games before you were here. Is that a correct assumption, that it will be more resembling what Stefanski did last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's core principles within that system that we want to major in and own, but you know, like anything, you're going to adapt with the times, and you're going to evaluate what our team is really good at and make sure that we focus the offense around that.
I know in working with the tight ends this year, we obviously knew Mike Vrabel was heavily involved in that group as well for, you know, pushing the season. There was some talk about, you know, him potentially being interested in bringing you over to his staff, but what just from your perspective, what was that relationship like? Seems like you guys kind of got pretty close, and what did you kind of learn from him during the year together?
Yeah, I love Vrabes. You know, we spoke on him a few weeks back. You know, just being able to be around a guy who's been a head coach, defensive side of the ball, has really spent so much of his life in the NFL. For me, offensive coach, never been a head coach, only spent a year previously in the NFL. So to be surrounded by somebody with all that experience was really beneficial, just learning kind of the ins and outs of this level, learning the ins and outs of this game. And then from a schematic standpoint, hearing him talk defensive football and how it impacts how we think offensively was great. You know, as a coach, being able to see that side and be able to pull down those curtains and see how they think, you know, can really make you better on the opposite side of the ball.
Tommy, I know you talked a little bit about this. I think it's the last time we talked to you, but along those lines, just coming in to this team and working with the tight ends where you're involved in so many different factors of the offense, like how did that, how much of a learning experience was that for you in your first year here?
Yeah, it was great. I'll tell you a quick story. My brother played tight end growing up. Okay, I played quarterback. We used to always argue about what position was harder, tight ends, quarterbacks, okay? On the field, I'll still, you know, quarterback is still something I'm passionate about. But I remember texting my brother in the middle of training camp and being like, hey, I know this has been 20 years since we've argued about this, but I think you were onto something with the whole tight end conversation. So, like, run, pass, protection, technique, like, there's so much that goes into it. And when I'm talking about, like, when you remove yourself from the quarterback room and have to look at things through a different lens, I think it's so beneficial for somebody that's spent as much time around the quarterback position as I have, or as much time as a coordinator, and it really gives you a great perspective on the other parts of the offense.
Tommy, along those lines, you multiple tight end sets have been something you've used a lot at Notre Dame, Alabama. How much, you know, as you kind of, you know, does that sort of align with what Kevin also does? I mean, how much have you guys sort of talked about that in terms of the offense?
Yeah, I think you want to be versatile in how you can attack a defense, right? And those personnel groupings, adding gaps, adding formations, all of those go into effect of how you attack a defense. And, you know, we want to be have the ability to be multiple and have different ways to present challenges to the defense.
Tommy, when you think about, you know, you being here when you were younger as a ball boy, now and then coming in last year, Titans coach moving into this, like, when you think about your connection to the Browns, why is it so meaningful for you to step into this role?
Yeah. I mean, that's a large reason why, right? I mean, growing up, my dad worked for however many NFL teams. For whatever reason, the Browns were kind of the one that stuck, probably because I was here, boots on the ground, working training camp. You know, those were probably the years I really started falling in love with football. And so when I think about my early development in the game, my early love for the game, so many of those memories were surrounded by either being here or watching the Browns on Sunday from home. And so, you know, it has come full circle. You know, I haven't really had the time to, like, sit down and think about that. But, you know, I know it's one, you know, just, you know, speaking with my brother, speaking with my dad, like, it is a pretty cool, you know, story to, you know, be able to say, okay, well, when you really fell in love with the game, it was in this building, it was watching these games, and now to be in the position I'm in is something I'm grateful for.
Tommy, you talked about the work on the front end, you know, before game day and everything. How much do you like that part of the job, and how much do you kind of hope to be able to kind of set the table with Kevin for everything he does as a play caller?
Yeah, I mean, when you put together a plan and then you see that plan come into action on a game day, that's about as rewarding as a feeling. When you're able to put together a plan for your players to have success and then you're able to see that success transpire on the field, that's about as rewarding of a feeling you can have in sport. And so much of that are the hours that you lead up to the game. You know, the time you spend in the office, you know, you sacrifice a lot in these jobs, and a lot of it goes to exactly what you're speaking to. And, you know, that's probably my favorite part of the job, is being able to sit in there and schematically find ways to attack a team, and then to be able to have that, you know, come to life on game day, you know, really brings a lot of, you know, a lot of hard work to life, and really brings, you know, what you're trying to do is give your players the best opportunity to be successful. And when you can do that, it's really a gratifying experience.
I know you don't want to get into specifics when it comes to maybe the quarterback plans going forward here, but the old adage, the old adage is you don't walk into a job without knowing exactly what you're walking into.
Right.
So do you at least have an idea of what that plan might be this offseason?
Yeah, like I, you know, said here a little bit ago, I'm really excited to get to evaluating that and see what's out there.
You say you and Kevin see the game like similarly?
Yeah, I mean, I think we, you know, have different experiences in the game. We've grown up in different systems of the game. I think, you know, the core tenets of what we believe in, you know, being sound and being explosive, those things are, you know, both really important to us. But in terms of how you get there, you know, we have similarities, but there's also going to be things that both of us see as new ways or different ways to accomplish those goals, which I think is something you want, right? You don't want everybody to have the same idea. You know, I have a quote in my office that says, we're all think alike, no one thinks very much. And I think that's really important with a staff, that you're able to, you know, feel like those guys have the autonomy to bring ideas to make the entire offense better.
Why do you think you guys connected so quickly then? You know what I mean?
I think there is a lot. I think we do see a lot of things the same way in terms of what's important in the game of football. I just think I have a tremendous amount of respect for how he handles, you know, his job, how he handles people. And that's something that, you know, I wanted to be a part of. And, I think that's probably a two-way street.
There's been such a vast difference between supposedly Kevin's old way of doing offense and then the new, more spread RPO stuff that you guys were trying to do at the outset last year. And now there's all kinds of talk. Well, they're going back to Kevin Stefanski's old offense. Is there a way to marry those two things and to really incorporate all of those elements into an offense and yet still also have an identity?
Yes, there is. There is definitely the ability to be multiple is something that we want. Now, what multiplicity looks like can look like a lot of different things to a defense while it stays very consistent for the offensive players. And so when I think you talk about scheme, how you present it is what puts defense at a bind. And so there are aspects of scheme of things that have been done in the past, things that we did last year that are consistent, but how we present it presents the challenge for the defense. So the identity is in the scheme. The presentation is part of how we keep people off balance.
Tommy, how your general offensive philosophy, is there a kind of a route to where that started, where you sort of first developed it? I mean, everybody says there's that, this person or that person.
Right. There's a lot of people. I would say when I was in 2016, I got the job in San Diego with the Chargers. I walked into that job thinking I had a pretty good grasp on football. I remember being completely blown away by the knowledge that the coaches had. And I would say that year, from just a schematic football standpoint, really changed the way I looked at the game. And we had, Mike McCoy is our head coach. Ken Wisenhunt was our coordinator. Nick Sirianni was our wideout coach. Shane Steichen was our quarterback coach. You know, there was a great staff of people around me that I really leaned into and learned from. And then, you add the stops along the way. I mean, certainly – being under Coach Saban and learning how he ran his program and how you do things day to day, how he looked at the game as a defensive coach, like the perspective I was able to gain from him was something I will value my entire life. I spent 9 years with Brian Kelly as a player and as a coach. So obviously there's things along the way that I picked up with him offensively. So I've been fortunate to be around a lot of great coaches, but I would point to the year in San Diego as one that really transformed the way I looked at football.
Very good.
Thank you, guys.
So there you have it. Tommy Reese, new offensive coordinator. That was an interesting comment, the 2016 year with the San Diego Chargers. Boy, there were some names on that staff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Before anybody calls and says he sounds just like Kevin Stefanski, there were some differences. I thought he was a little more forthcoming on a few things. We'll see if that continues to be the case as he meets with the media throughout his first season as the coordinator of the Browns. Dan Menigan's flying the ship today. One thing I want to preview a little bit, and then we'll get into what he said today.
Right.
He said, I don't want to get into the young quarterbacks coming out in the draft. I'm not going to talk about those guys.
It doesn't do him any good to do that. I don't think it does.
But he'll be talking about that here on Baskin and Phelps.
What do you mean?
Well, extensive comments on Jalen Milroe from Tommy Reese coming up in the 11 o'clock hour.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
And they're telling. So a couple of things he said here make me think, okay. Best offenses cater to the people we have. Thank you. Thank you very much. That means you coach your players, you don't coach a system. Now, you've got to have a philosophy and some ideas, but I have always, always appreciated coaches, liked coaches, who take the talent they have, Andy, and coach them up, rather than try and take the square peg and fit it in the round hole. If we have a wide receiver who does this, well, then let's put stuff in for him. Mm-hmm. If we have a quarterback who does this, let's run this in the offense. I think that's the best way to do things.
I agree with you, and I do think that's the best way to do things. Unfortunately, though, there's the political game that moves forward after that, and there are brick walls. There are brick walls ahead of you, I think, when you coach anywhere, where, especially in the NFL, that brick wall could be as close as Kevin Stefanski, where he may have one concept of what a player's talent is, and Kevin may have a different one. And then Andrew Berry may be saying to Kevin Stefanski, why aren't we seeing this guy? I don't understand this. So now there's pressure coming down there, and then ultimately ownership has the final brick wall in trying to help a head coach or an offensive coordinator in this position be able to execute what he believes. I believe that what he said is truthful for 99% of the coaches. I am going to coach the talent we have and try to put them in the best position that I possibly can. The issue, though, is that sometimes players get forced in because of contracts, and they get forced in because ownership wants to see something or a general manager wants to see something.
You create a system to make it work for them.
But you're not necessarily using the best talent. I agree with that. I agree with what you just said, but I also think that it forces a coordinator to sometimes have to think out of the box and say, okay, I realize that this guy I have on the bench right now is probably better than the guy I have in the game, but it must be what they want, so I've got to get the other guys going. I've got to get somebody else moving. I may have an inefficient young quarterback who just doesn't have the experience, and we need to get that for him. And I know that it might be easy just to pull the trigger and look at the guy next to me who I know can go out there and get the job done, but I can't think about today. I got to think about the future, which I think is a difficult concept for any coach at any level in any sport, and it happens everywhere. A
couple of things that he said about quarterback specific I thought were interesting and maybe telling. A quarterback's job is to solve problems.
I like that. He said that right out of the
gate. And make decisions.
Yeah, a quarterback has to be the offensive coordinator after the word hike is said and the initial play is broken down. They're the OC on the fly.
All right. Did you see any problem solvers or decision makers on the field at quarterback for the Browns this last year?
I think we had two quarterbacks this past year that wanted to be that guy. Though unfortunately, when you throw a pick, you made the wrong decision. Or maybe somebody wasn't in the right spot and you're getting blamed for the wrong decision.
Quarterbacks in today's NFL, with the incredible athleticism on defense, you need quarterbacks who can create and extend plays. Did we have...
That seems to be the quarterbacks they've wanted to bring. That, I mean, let's be honest. When Deshaun Watson works...
It's what
he
was
works,
in Houston.
Yeah. When he works, that's what he is.
It's what he was in Houston.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that here.
Well, I think part of it
you know
is...
You know who can create and extend plays? All three of the quarterbacks that everybody's talking about in this draft.
As of today.
Just as of today.
At their current level,
would you agree with that, though? I mean, look around the league. Look who's still playing right now. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. They can create and extend plays.
Mahomes is the best.
Lamar Jackson.
Any question? Lamar Jackson
can extend
very, very
and
good.
Create plays.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts can create and extend plays.
He has so far. Let's
Jaden
see what he does
Daniels
in the Super Bowl. Still
can create and extend plays
in the championship. Yeah.
Well, all four of the guys still playing fit exactly that description. Quarterbacks who can create and extend plays.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah. You know, great idea. Now you just have to find one.
I'm not about to anoint the Washington quarterback as the greatest quarterback, rookie quarterback of all time at this point with Jaden Daniels, because the league figures things out.
You don't have to, but he's been really good.
No, I agree. I enjoy watching him play. I thought it was fun to watch him play. I think he's great, but I still have my foot on the brake with him a little bit because he's still a rookie. And you know as well as I do that when guys come back their sophomore year, sometimes things they were able to figure out their first year in the league aren't present the second year in the league, and other teams need to figure them out. It's one thing to see a guy in film. It's another thing to see a guy out on the field. And I do think that level of unknown messes up the other side. And he's done a great job of extending the season for Washington, but I still think that other teams are going to figure him out at some point. They most do. So.
No, but the good ones adjust, and he seems like a good one. So
he does,
we'll see.
He does. Look, but, I think but, it's, but I, that, I don't want to sit here and say that I'm ripping Jaden Daniels. I'm not. What I'm saying is I want to see his experience happen right before our eyes over the next year.
Yeah, but he fits he fits what Tommy Reese just said, quarterbacks who can create and extend plays.
Okay.
And
I mean, Deshaun can do that too when he's healthy. And if he's in the right,
we haven't really seen that here, Andy.
No, but we did see that in Houston.
It's been a long time.
He was a quarter. I understand it's been a long time, but the very definition of what we're saying is
what he was.
It holds true to what he was, and you know.
But that was a long time ago. We'll see if they think that that's something that's manageable, doable moving forward or not. Probably not this coming year with the Achilles, but which makes me think, you know, who can they bring in who can create and extend plays? Not necessarily Kirk Cousins, is it?
Yeah, you're talking about a veteran, or are you talking about a college?
I'm just talking about a quarterback.
I just
thought it was interesting that he actually said those words, and not that they're overly telling or anything. But all four quarterbacks were still playing, and you could make the argument most of the quarterbacks who just got eliminated were guys who could do that. So
I mean,
the guys who are coming out in this draft seem to be guys who would fit that kind of a mold.
I mean, I'll say it for Riley Leonard from Notre Dame. He fits that mold from what we just saw even over the weekend. He went up against a defense where almost 9 of the 11 guys on that defense are going to be – will have the opportunity to be in the NFL next year. So if you're looking for a guy that can avoid the rush, Riley Leonard might be the guy you might want to look at.
Not with the number 2 pick.
But there are other guys you are willing to look at. If the true definition – of what he said, Riley Leonard defined that, what he said. So, and again, Jeff, going back to your own words, if they think Riley Leonard is the man, then you think they should take him at 2. Isn't that what you said? Not Riley Leonard the man, but the person that defines if that's who they want.
Yeah, but you're not going to have to take him at 2 because he's going to be on everybody's board.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but if you're 100% in, that's what you got to do.
What'd you think? That's Tommy Reese, new offensive coordinator, will not be calling plays, at least until further notice. That faze anybody? He sounded a lot like Kevin Stefanski. Mm. I thought he said a few more things that gave us a little glimpse into maybe what they might be doing. He didn't want to talk about the young guys coming out. He's going to talk extensively about one of the young guys when we do Let's Find Us a Quarterback in the 11 o'clock hour, because he has comments on Jalen Milroe that you are not going to want to miss. Nick Kostos is going to join us at 11 o'clock. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, you heard him in the press conference. He's going to join us at noon. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy also has a bone to pick with him coming up at 11 o'clock.
I don't have a bone to pick with him. I just want to ask if he changed his mind.
Okay, good.
Don't make this bigger than it is. Don't try
to be... What bone is it that you want to pick?
I just want to ask him one more time if he would rather have Marcus Freeman as a head coach or Ryan Day. That's all. Last week he said, it is very clear and obvious to everyone that you would rather have Marcus Freeman as a head coach over Ryan Day. And I was just like... I don't think that's clear to everyone. So I just want to ask him about it and see if he changes his mind.
All right, Andy will pick that bone at 11 o'clock. And then Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, will join us at noon after he just heard Tommy Reese's press conference. Opening press conference, offensive coordinator of the Browns. Kevin Stefanski will be calling plays. Kevin opened it up by saying that, Andy, but he reserves the right to, you know, change his mind. The one thing I think everybody needs to understand, tell me if you agree with this or not. And we heard several times, okay, you're going back to the offense that Stefanski ran before.
Right.
Well, no, not. I'll say this. No, not completely. Because if you were, you could have brought Alex Van Pelt back as offensive coordinator because he was let go in New England. If you wanted the same thing back, you could have very simply had it. You could have hired Alex Van Pelt as your offensive coordinator and Kevin could go back to calling plays. Instead of doing that, they're going with a different approach because it's a different guy with a different background and different thoughts. So though I think, yeah, it'll probably more closely resemble what we saw several years ago, there will still be differences because you're having a different guy, quote unquote, coordinate the offense.
You need to coordinate the offense. I'm looking forward to this kind of going back to where it was 2 years ago. And then again, you need a quarterback that's healthy. I'll just go there. I don't care whether it's a free agent, whether it's a rookie that's coming in or whatever. They just need a quarterback that can effectively execute the offense that Kevin is looking for beyond the first drive of the game, okay? Because we know that Kevin can scheme up something really, really good for the first drive of the game. We've seen it time and time again. And then we also saw when he wasn't calling the plays what happened later in the season. They also need to be able to score more than 20 points a game. These are all like the small, not so small goals that need to happen for next year. It's all on Kevin. And it was almost like when Kevin gave up the play calling this year, you could kind of see that he was going to come back at the end of the season no matter how this thing played out. So really the biggest news that came out of today's press conference was Kevin stepping out to the podium, very first words out of his mouth, I will be calling the plays next season and I will have the option to change my mind if I want to.
That was really the only,
which I know you guys are going to ask. I'm going to call plays and I reserve the right to change my mind.
There you okay? go.
That was really the only news that came out of the press
conference. It's like being married. Your spouse always has the right to change their mind. Learn something from that. True? What are you saying? Don't get fired? What?
Don't get divorced.
Don't get divorced.
No, it's not divorced. It's true. Your spouse always has the right to change their mind. You may not always agree with it, but the words happy wife, happy life apply 24/7, 52 weeks a year.
I think it's an intriguing promotion for the Browns because this guy was highly thought of when the Browns brought him in. Nick Saban thinks highly of him. Nick is a good football coach, no matter what you think of him. I will say I think he might even be better in television commercials than he is as a football coach.
He's been pretty good.
He's pretty entertaining. It's a rule. It's not a spa.
That's right. Did he give the – never mind.
So I think, you know, we'll see. And the whole, well, Mike Vrabel had an interest in him, that doesn't matter. If the Browns didn't think he was the guy that should be coordinating this offense, they wouldn't have promoted him just because Mike Vrabel might have hired him. That wasn't going to happen. And Vrabel has a pretty good offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels, who's been there, done that, and has the Super Bowl rings to prove it. So if McDaniels were available, would Vrabel have hired him over Tommy Rees?
I know. That's a good question.
I don't know either. It is a good question. If he would have hired Tommy Rees and not Josh McDaniels, that would have been telling. I would have expected him to hire Josh McDaniels, personally, and he did. But here you have a young guy, coordinator, interesting experience, coordinator at two big-time colleges, played the position in college, and he's going to come in a situation where you need a quarterback, and he better succeed. Whether it's a young guy, whether it's a veteran, whatever it is, whoever it is, that guy has to succeed here, or they're all going to fail, Andy. And Tommy Rees will either be looking for a job next year or might get promoted as offensive coordinator. He could be the head coach. You never know. So it has to work this year for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, and they're putting their trust in this young guy to coordinate the offense. I think that's interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. They really like Tommy. Obviously, there was a guy who was coveted by other teams in the NFL. They wanted to make sure that he stayed home. He said he wanted to stay.
We think so, right?
We heard his name in too many other circles that he wasn't, obviously. Whether he got a job or not.
Interviewed at North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, he got an interview. I mean, there were other places that wanted him. Right, and he's got a pretty good resume as far as colleges. If he needs to call plays, well, I think he's in a position to do that. He has the experience. He wouldn't be coming in totally cold. He'll know the offense when they get there. They just, I mean, I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. If they don't get a quarterback, it's not going to matter for anybody. Somebody's got to lead this team and hang on to the football and not throw to the other team more than our team. But I don't like this is 100% what the issue is here right now. Tommy Rees might be the greatest offensive coordinator in the history of the planet, but if he doesn't have a quarterback, he's not going to be moving forward.
Who will that quarterback be? Could it be the guy he was with at Alabama? He's going to make comments. We're going to hear them. He made them some time ago. We're going to hear the comments he made about Jalen Milroe, who is one of the quarterbacks in this draft, coming up in 30 minutes right here on The Fan. So get ready for that. I still think the quarterbacks who can create and extend plays, part of this is interesting. And it makes me think, is that specifically what they're looking for?
What's your interpretation? Like, my interpretation of that is a guy who doesn't want to sit in the pocket too long.
Well, my interpretation of that is a guy who can sit in the pocket, but if the pocket breaks down, can still make plays. I don't think that screams Kirk Cousins. Do you?
No.
With an Achilles that's not what it used to be. Doesn't scream Aaron Rodgers as a free agent.
But if you're Kevin and you know your job's on the line when this thing, but let's face it, Tommy's job's on the line too. Do you go out and get a quarterback who has experience that can probably help you win some games? He might take some sacks in the pocket, but if he can help you win and get you to the playoffs and preserve your job for another year, then it might be prudent to go out and get a not-so-mobile, effective, high completion percentage rate quarterback to run your team.
To me, there are a couple of guys who fit that real well.
And he also kind of explained that he needs a quarterback that's going to be the offensive coordinator, well, like all quarterbacks, after the word hike is said.
Let me throw some names at you. Quarterbacks who were available, and again, we're going to be talking about this and these guys extensively leading up to free agency in the draft. We've already discussed Justin Fields.
Yeah, we have.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones.
Righto.
Those guys can throw, and they're mobile. They can run. They can extend plays. Makes me think that's if that was actually a telling statement, to me, it screams Kirk Cousins isn't your guy. Aaron Rodgers isn't your guy.
But here's the other thing.
Which I can't imagine
what
Aaron
Rodgers
being the guy.
What if he's Kevin Stefanski's guy?
Well, then that's a different story.
Then he is going to become your guy.
But would that, am I reading too much into one statement?
I think maybe a little bit, but that's okay. I don't have a problem with it.
But if it's a quarterback, I mean, if that's the philosophy, then there are plenty of guys out there who you can find who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's clearly, that's the type of quarterback play that's succeeding in the NFL right now. I mean, it's succeeding in a big way. Just look at the teams still playing and the teams that have gone into the playoffs. That's what it screams.
Let me ask you this. What job do you think is more coveted? A offensive coordinator in the NFL who doesn't call his own plays, or a Division I college offensive coordinator who gets to call their own plays? What would you rather be?
What do you want to do? I don't want to be that simple about it, but do you want to be a college coordinator or do you want to work in the NFL? Different worlds.
You have to get that experience, and he has it, that experience of actually calling plays on game day, though.
He's done it.
Yeah.
He did it at Notre Dame. He did it at Alabama.
I don't know. Is it overrated, calling the plays? Because
Since I've never worked for an NFL team as a coach, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know or do fans overrate who's calling the plays?
I think fans, the coaches will tell you it's overrated. I've never bought that myself. I think it is a big deal.
It should be.
It's a different philosophy on game day, and Kevin's good at it.
It should be of one mind.
One mind.
Thought partner.
One thought. Oh, nice. Nick Costos is our Odyssey Sports betting insider. Who wins? Who goes to the Super Bowl? Where should the smart money go? Costos has all that, and Andy will pick a bone next on Baskin and Phelps. And don't forget, comments on Jalen Milroe coming up in the 11 o'clock hour from the guy who didn't want to talk about him today, Tommy Reese.